This morning, God's Word comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We are going to begin our reading at verse 15 and then read through verse 31. Deuteronomy 4, beginning at verse 15. What we hear now is God's Word. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them, and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people for his own inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he swore that I should not cross the Jordan, that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. For I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan. But you shall go over and take possession of that good land. Take care, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands, that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 890 in the back section. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the confessions of our church. And this morning we're going to read together from Lord's Day 35, the three questions there. I'll read the questions. We can respond together with the answers. So from page 890, question 96, what is God's will for us in the second commandment? Question 97, may we then not make any image at all? Question 98, but may not images, as books for the unlearned, be permitted in churches? Well, we have entered into that third section of the Heidelberg Catechism, that section dealing with the law of God. And we looked last time at the first commandment, seeing that there is only one God, and we are to worship no other gods but Him. And the psalmist says, "The gods of the nations are idols." We are not to worship any other gods. We may have no idols of other gods. This morning, we move on to the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And there are times when the second commandment and the first commandment are sometimes confused. Last time in the first commandment, we talked about there is only one God. We are to have no idols, no other gods before the one true God. In the second commandment, we deal with the fact that we are not to make any images of that one true God. The first commandment deals with whom we worship. We worship God alone. The second commandment deals with how we worship that one true God, and we are to worship without any images of Him. Israel would fall short again and again on both of these commands. There would be times when they would follow after other gods, looking for other gods to lead them. And there would be times when they would worship the true God, but in the wrong way, using images. So this morning we talk about worshiping God properly, worshiping God as He has instructed in His Word. And we want to worship God in the way He has instructed because of who He is, because of His character. Now, I did not ask you to turn there this morning. Perhaps you can do that later today. And that is to another one of our confessional documents, the Belgic Confession. And in Article 1 of the Belgic Confession, we read this. We believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God, eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, and good, and the overflowing source of all good. God is a glorious and majestic God. We see some of His attributes, His eternality. God is eternal. He will continue on forever. Whenever I try to get my feeble mind around God's eternality, it simply falls short. Now, I can in some ways imagine God continuing on for the future, but He not only continues in the future, He has always been in the past. And that's where it loses me. God has always been. There was never a time before God. We deal with things before and after, but God is always. He always has been. He always will be. This is the eternal God. Our confession says He is incomprehensible. We can never fully know God. We can never fully understand Him. He has revealed Himself to us in some extent. He reveals something of Himself in creation.
something of his majesty, something of his glory. He reveals himself more clearly in his holy word and his relationship to his people. But he is incomprehensible. We can never fully understand who God is. He is the God who is omniscient, the God who knows all things and knows all things at all times. Kids, when we learn things, we generally learn little by little. So if you, go to school and you start to learn math, and in math, you start by learning that there are these things called numbers, and you learn to count. You learn the numbers. And then if you go farther in your schooling, you'll learn about things like addition. You can add numbers together and get bigger numbers. Or multiplication. You can multiply numbers and get bigger numbers. Eventually, you'll learn about parts of a number. We call those fractions. Now, we don't start teaching you fractions, but you eventually learn about fractions. Sometime you'll learn about negative numbers. Oh, my goodness, negative numbers. Numbers that are below zero. If you keep going in math, eventually you'll get to learn about what we call real numbers and imaginary numbers. We don't start there. We start with the basics. God knows all things immediately. There is no learning curve for God. He is omniscient. He knows all. That's the God we're talking about, his very character. God is unchangeable. We say he is immutable. We change all the time. If I asked you kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, you'd maybe say, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to be a fireman. And then maybe if I asked you a couple years from now, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a teacher, or a doctor, or a nurse. And then eventually you learn that being something has some money that's connected with it, and you say, I want a job where I can make lots of money and only work a little bit. I want to be a minister. And you change. You change what it is you want to do, what it is you want to be. We change all the time. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. He is immutable. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. He is here with us today in our church. He is in other churches that call upon his name rightly. God is everywhere. He is infinite. He is almighty. He can do everything in accordance with his holy will. Sometimes we say, I really wish I could do something. God never says, I wish I could. God is never frustrated in his purposes. This is the God we're talking about. A God who is eternal, incomprehensible, omniscient, unchangeable, omnipresent, almighty. He is a God who is wise and just and good and the overflowing source of all goodness. How would you begin to make an image of that God? Any image that we make would fall short. Our confession reminds us, God cannot be visibly portrayed. Not only that he may not, God cannot be visibly portrayed. How would you make any image that begins to get close to who God is? He reminded his people, verse 14, therefore, watch yourselves very carefully
You saw no form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. God did not reveal himself with a particular form to his people. So they were to worship him without any images of any kind. He says, you saw no form, beware, lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourself in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. We do not image God as male or female. Now, we know that mankind was created in God's image, but we are not allowed to create God in our image. Don't image God as male or female, he goes on, or the likeness of any animal that is on earth, or the likeness of a winged bird, or the likeness of anything that creeps in the ground, or the likeness of any fish in the water under the earth. Don't image God as a creature. Remember, they're coming out of the land of Egypt, where the Egyptians had many, many gods, and some which looked like creatures. The best they could do was portray their gods as a beast. Our God, the true God, cannot be portrayed in any way. We are to worship him without images. That's the beginning of our question, answer 96. What is God's will in the Second Commandment? That we in no way make any image of God. God cannot, he may not be portrayed. From verse 19, and beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven. When you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts, you'll be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them. Yes, it is true that the heavens reveal something of the glory of God. The psalmist speaks of that, but they are not God. The heavens are created. God is creator. Even the glory of the heavenly hosts, the sun and the moon and the stars, pale in comparison to who God is. We are to worship without any images of any kind. Perhaps at times we make a mental image of who God is. Perhaps we highlight one of God's attributes to the exclusion of others. We image a God who is love alone. A God who is so loving, who is so kind, who is so compassionate that he will simply overlook sin. We make an image of a God who is then a false God. Yes, God is merciful, and he is gracious, and he is compassionate. But what does Moses write? Verse 21, furthermore, the Lord was angry with me, and he swore that I should not cross the Jordan, that I should not enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you. I must die in this land. God is not so loving that he will overlook the sins we commit. We are to have no images. Some people will say, you know, I can't imagine a God who would actually send someone to hell for eternal punishment. Whether you can imagine that or not, that is the God of Scripture. We read that in Psalm 5. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. We may not image God in such a way that it distorts who this God is. We may not make any images. But rather, we are to worship this God as he has revealed himself in his word. Worship God as he has revealed himself in his word. Again, from question 96. That we in no way make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way than
than has been commanded in God's Word. We look to the Word of God to know how to worship Him, not worship the way the world does. That was the warning to the Israelites. Don't look at the nations around you. Don't look at how they do it and be drawn astray. But rather, be instructed. Be instructed by the living preaching of the Word of God. And teach your children these things. Verse 25, when you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything and by doing what is evil in the sight of the God, you will provoke Him to anger. Teaching our children how to worship God properly, to be instructed by the Word. I love question answer 98 in the Catechism. But may not images as books for the unlearned, for the children, may these not be permitted in the churches? No, we should not try to be wiser than God. God knows how He wants to be worshiped. God knows what is best for us. We should not try to be wiser than Him. He wants His people instructed by the living preaching of the Word. And kids, that's why you're here this morning, and that's why your parents are here this morning, to be instructed from the living preaching of the Word. God's Word is the center of our worship service. We hear His Word in the call to worship. We sing His Word in the songs of praise. We hear His Word in the call to confession and the assurance of pardon and our response of gratitude in keeping the law. And we read God's Word and are instructed in God's Word in the preaching of the gospel. It is the heart of why we gather together Lord's Day after Lord's Day, to be instructed by the living preaching of the Word of God, that we not be led astray, that we not think that we have to look to the world to find a better way to do things. No, God has revealed Himself in His Word, and He has revealed how He would be worshipped in His Word. Watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form. The Lord spoke to you at Horeb. What is so beautiful about this text is that when we get to verse 28, we see the mercy of God. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Exactly what God said, don't do. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey His voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers. Even this fundamental instruction from God, don't worship the way the nations do. You saw no form. Even when they would violate that, if they would humble their hearts before God and turn back to Him with whole heart, God would hear, and God would forgive, and God would be gracious and be merciful. Even when they neglected His clear teaching of how to worship Him, the center of our lives, God would not forget His promises. And the same is true for us today. Perhaps you say, you know, I would turn to God, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know the sins in my past or in my present. That is true. But I know God. I know His mercy. I know His compassion. I know His promise that when we turn to Him, He will hear from heaven and He will forgive all of our sins. God calls you today once again. Put your trust in that God. Put your trust in Jesus Christ as the one whose blood washes us from all of our sins. Trust in Him and know the favor of God, the faithfulness of God, the assurance that God will not forget who He is. He will be merciful and gracious and compassionate. Commandment one, there is only one God. Commandment two, we must worship that one God properly as He has instructed us. And as God gives us that desire, gives us that purpose, He receives all the glory and the honor and the praise. Let's join together in prayer. Truly, O God, You are great, You are glorious, and You are majestic. You are the God who is the eternal God. You are incomprehensible, You are omniscient, You are unchanging, You are omnipresent, You are almighty, great and glorious. How could we think, O God, we could begin to make an image that would encompass You? Lord God, thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for teaching us what pleases You and how You would be worshiped through the living preaching of Your word. Lord God, make us good students of that word. Help us to teach that word to our children and our children's children, that they, by Your grace, may continue to walk in Your ways. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.